Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action. Hey friends, it's Diane, and I'm here to talk to you about how to bring joy back into your life. This is going to be a great time, so you might want to get a pen and paper because I have six ways that you can bring joy back into your life. Or maybe you might want to call it six necessary requirements to have joy in your life. Anyway, it's a very exciting time for me to talk to you about joy, because for me, joy is our natural state. We are made of joy. We're meant to be joyful all the time. And so when we're not joyful, that's an altered state. Whereas most people might think that when we're finally joyful and happy, that we are in an altered state. But not true. Not for me. Joy is our natural state in my world. So if you're not feeling joy, then you're in an altered state. So here are the six ways, the six things you can do, any way you want to look at it, that get you there. And it spells the word joyful. So J, number one, jettison anything that does not serve you. Jettison does not mean drop it lightly or let it go or push it aside and pretend like it's not there. That's not what it means. Jettison is like the jettison seat, right? You know, on an aircraft where the pilots can jettison themselves out and parachute to safety when they're in trouble. Jettison means to release with intention and force. Intention and force, that means that we want to make sure that we are getting rid of the things that aren't serving us any longer. So something might have served you in the past, a way of being or a way of thinking, and it doesn't serve you anymore. Well, a friend of mine recently became somebody who's more of a vegetarian than a meat eater because she realized that her body wasn't really resonating very well with meat. And so she changed. She jettisoned the old way and brought in the new way. She wasn't feeling joyful because she was feeling sad and kind of sick all the time. Now she's happy. Her joy is coming back. She has more energy because her body is responding more fully to the new way. So she had to jettison the old way. I've had to jettison people and situations in my life that didn't serve me anymore, not because I was angry, not because something was wrong, but because it didn't serve where I was going. So we have to be willing to take a stand on what is right for us without judgment or assigning value to somebody else's decision or to our own. The key here is to ask yourself, is what's happening here serving me? If it's not serving you, it's time to evaluate it. That doesn't mean you need jerk reaction. It doesn't mean those things. It means you pay attention. I've had to jettison certain foods out of my diet that I didn't even know were causing trouble. And then when I took them out of my diet and I saw how much better I felt, those foods are jettisoned now. Not because they were bad, but because I wasn't feeling at my optimum. The food itself is not bad. It just wasn't serving me. So that's step number one. Jettison the things that do not serve you. Sometimes those things are a belief system, like the belief that you're unworthy, or the belief maybe that you're not good enough, or some women have the belief that women are all second-class citizens. Some men have the belief that they're not allowed to have a feeling or not allowed to use their intuition. All of those beliefs don't serve us because they're not true anymore. They were never true, but they're really not true today. So we have to be willing to jettison those things that are not serving us. That's an ongoing process, okay? Because as you become aware of things, you are going to want to assess what you're doing. Then number two, step number two is omit. Omit things that bring you down and that do not bring you toward your goals. In other words, if you say you want to be healthy and you want to run a marathon, then I suggest you get off the couch and omit laying around, right? That's a simple one. If you say you want to make some kind of goal in your career, you know, and you're ready to take action, you have to omit the things that are distractions. Maybe you need to omit procrastination, or maybe you need to omit overthinking sometimes. Maybe you need to omit some of the old ways of doing things so new ones can come in. So what are we going to omit doing? For me, omitting something means where I've done it, and maybe I even still do it, and it isn't serving. It's not taking me to my joyful place. It drags me down. So if I feel heavy or I feel tired, then I know that whatever I'm doing or whoever I'm engaging with is taking my energy, and that's causing trouble. So I always take time to omit those things that just drag me down, whatever it is, without judgment. The key here is not to judge it. I had somebody who used to be a really close friend of mine and many years ago, and then we got in a conversation and she started yelling at me, and there was no reason to be yelling. And I said, you know, when I hung up, I said, that's not okay to be yelling. So what I did was I said, well, when this person calls me, then we'll talk again. It's been several years, no phone call, no interaction. So by omitting being yelled at that way and being treated that way, I've been able to move on, be happy and healthy. And yes, I miss that friendship, but I don't miss the heaviness and the difficulty that came with it. So if I'm going to feel joy, I have to be willing to omit the things that don't serve me. Sometimes you're going to omit some of your own behavior, like hitting the snooze button 500 times in the morning. Set your alarm for when you want to get up and get up. Omit all of that procrastination. Step three is yielding. Yielding to what your heart and soul know is right for you. And this is a really big one, because a lot of times if you're a go-getter like me, or you're always creating things, one of the things that happens is we forget to yield. We forget to pause and then act. We're always acting, acting, acting. We live in a society and in a world that is constantly on our case about work, 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 go, 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 go. Have your phone with you all the time. Have this with you all the time. Do this if you don't answer right away. Go, go, go. I even heard my voice speed up just thinking about it, right? So it's all about yielding. I always think of the great running backs in football. Yes, I love football. And they know how to yield and cut to find the opening. The great ones do not just bowl forward like there's nothing there. You know, they'll run into the offensive line. They need to have a time to yield, to pause, so that they can then see where the opening is to make the big play. And if you watch them, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, lots of them, you can see that ability to yield in the game. So if your life and your world were a game, if you will, where do you need to yield? Sometimes yielding includes meditation. It might include taking some quiet time every day and maybe journaling, or maybe spending time in nature in order to pause so that the right information and the right inspiration can come in to take you to the next step. I spend my time every day yielding somewhat in nature, sometimes with my dog, but always I spend time meditating every day, whether it's 10 minutes or an hour. I have myself that time to yield to the greater vision, yield to what my soul's calling is, yield to the bright ideas I'm having so I can see how they play out in what I'm doing in my life. All of those forms of yielding bring me joy. So far we're going to jettison the old things that don't serve us. We're going to omit things that we're doing that don't serve us. We're going to yield so that our soul, our spirit, our emotions can guide us more, and we're not going to live from the neck up only, because it doesn't work. So those are the first three steps. That spells joy. So now, for getting back on track and getting the joy back in your life, there's three more steps. The F is to have faith. Now, I'm not talking religion and I'm not talking anything structured. What I think about when I think of faith is, if you've ever driven a car on a two-lane road or on any highway, you know, those painted lines on most of our roads, right? Well, those tell us what to do. And we, in order to drive, we have to have faith that the other people aren't going to cross the line. That's where accidents happen, right? Or that we're not going to cross the line. So faith is about how we step into the world. So when I leave my home in the morning, I have faith that my home will be safe, that my dog will be okay, that my trip to work will be fine. Those are all things we have faith in order to keep living. So our joy comes from the inside out. It comes like from our belly like a fountain and radiates out into the world. It comes in and radiates. So we want to have faith in the fact that we can allow our inner beauty to radiate out. And that faith is what keeps us moving forward and what keeps awakening the joy. So imagine the joy within you is trying to emerge. It's like a fountain, or it's like something that's like a flower trying to come up through the soil and then emerge. We want to give it permission. And the way we give the joy permission so we can feel it in our lives is to have faith in the world, in the universe. Like, I love to look at the full moons. I love, 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 love the moon. And I love to connect with nature. Sometimes I go outside right when it's sunset, and I get up early, so sometimes I do this at sunrise too. And I just sit where I can see lots of greenery, and I watch all the different shades of green happen as the sun appears. So the sky changes colors, the trees, the leaves, the grass, everything changes colors. And in that elegant simplicity is where I place my faith. In the perfection of a universe that is right on time, doing exactly what it's supposed to do, right when it's supposed to do it. You ever notice that nature's never late? It's really kind of cool, right? So if we can apply that to our lives, we have more joy too. Then we want to have understanding. That's you, that's step five, right? Understanding is really fun. Because with understanding comes a sense of peace, a sense of calmness, a sense of knowingness, and from that comes confidence. So understanding has multiple levels. We have cognitive understanding, right, with our head, where this is what I understand as an intellectual concept or an idea. Then we have understanding with our heart, where we can feel another's feelings maybe, or we can understand something on an emotional level. Like a friend of mine just recently had one of her parents pass away. And both of my parents have passed away already. And I can understand that depth of that pain. I'm not feeling her exact pain. I can't. But I can understand on that soul, like that heart soul level, right? That's a level of understanding. Then there's your intuitive understanding. A lot of people call it intuition. I have a lot of that too. And so when we're in our spirit and our soul and we're listening deeply, 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 and we have a level of understanding, we can understand things that are mysterious, or we can have a sense and an awareness and an understanding of something that there's no words to go with. Our words are a very small amount of our full expression in the world. About probably 20% maybe. And so sometimes we can understand things or feel a feeling that there's no word for, because it transcends words. Words are pedestrian in a lot of situations. So we want to develop our understanding and be comfortable with having a knowingness that maybe there's no words for. Like, I make some decisions in my life based on my intuition and my inner knowingness. And some of my friends think it's a little funny. They don't think they know what to do with me. They care about me, but they don't know what to do with me. And that's okay, because I'm confident in what I feel on the inside because I've developed that skill. So my joy emerges more, is brighter, is happier when I allow myself to have understanding cognitively intellectually in what's going on, my problem-solving skills, in my heart, my emotions, and also in my intuition or my spirit, where I can know things that maybe I wouldn't otherwise understand or be able to tell you about cognitively. And then we have the L. Now, I use one L when I spell joyful, but I have two L's to go with this little story on joyful. And that is love and laughter. So love is the ability and the willingness to allow other people to do what's right for themselves without any insistence they satisfy me. So love is not manipulation, and love is not if you loved me, you would kind of comments. Love is being willing to be with somebody, including yourself, without any agenda of being satisfied, which takes a lot of work sometimes. Because sometimes when we care about somebody, we want the best for them, so we try to impose what we think they should do. That steals both of our joy. When somebody tries to impose on you what they think you should do, that steals joy from both of you. Love is about honoring and respecting and holding that higher support without throwing agenda on. So unless somebody asks for your opinion, you probably want to wait or ask permission to share it. Just don't give it to them, right? And if you want the opinion of somebody else or you want to hear what they have to say, then practice asking for it. That's the love part. There's a lot more to say in love. Maybe I'll just do a whole video on love. And then there's laughter. And laughter is so important. I was going through a stressful time not very long ago, actually, and I noticed I wasn't laughing a whole lot. Like, I was smiling some, but I wasn't laughing like from my belly. And I went with a friend of mine to Disney World, and Disney World's not far from my house at all, so we go there, and something was going on. I don't even remember now what it was, but I remember hearing myself belly laugh, just free-flowing belly laugh, and that's what I mean by laughter. And when I heard that come out of me, I'm like, wow, I haven't laughed like this in a long time. That's no good. That's not joyful. So then I had to remind myself of my six things. I had to remind myself I needed to jettison whatever it was that wasn't working. Something that was happening in my life wasn't working, and I had to be willing to jettison it, get rid of it, kick it out, bye, see you later, ah. I had to be willing to admit and stop doing those things that were perpetuating the non-joyful situation. To omit something is to no longer do what you're doing. That's stealing your joy, right? So a lot of times people say, what are you willing to do? And I always say, and also, what are you willing to no longer do? Then I had to be willing to yield, you know, that there's a higher thing going on and there's more happening in my life than just what was happening in all this stressful time that was stealing my joy. And I didn't even realize it because it was little by little by little. But when I heard my laugh that day, I remembered the joy that's my natural state, that's always me. And I'm a little goofy sometimes because I feel so joyful. And then I had to remind myself that what's my faith in? You know, where is my faith? Well, my faith is in the perfect unfoldment of this universe. I know beyond all reasonable doubt that everything happens right on time, and that we as humans have such amazing ability to create and sustain and connect and understand on levels that we still don't even understand yet. And how amazing is that? I just think it's just awesome. Then I allow myself to have more understanding, and then laugh and love. And love is so important because the love part is about loving yourself, right? And it's not like being in love like a narcissist. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having compassion. I'm talking about loving yourself through the world. Maybe you made a mistake, or maybe you think you're late. You're really not, but you think you are. Maybe you're procrastinating, or maybe, you know, there's all these things going on. It's so important sometimes just to let yourself be you. Let yourself be you and love you. So I have a homework assignment for you about the love, okay? when you go to bed tonight, before you go to sleep and you're in the bathroom brushing your teeth, getting ready for bed, get eye contact with yourself in the mirror, right in here. Get eye contact and say your name. So I would say, Diane, thank you for being here for me all day long. And all the greatness, all the foibles, everything. Thank you so much. I love you. Good night. Some people can't do that without crying because they haven't learned how to love themselves. So you do it until you can do it without crying, right? Then in the morning when you get up and you're brushing your teeth, instead of just hurrying through and getting out of the house, take a minute and get eye contact one more time and say, good morning. Hi, Diane. I'm here for you all day, no matter what. Doesn't matter. I'm here for you. You're loved, you're guided, and you're protected. Now let's go do this. And then you move forward into the day with joy, with an open heart and an open mind, and it all comes together. You'll see yourself laughing more. So there's a lot of ways to bring joys back into your life. And so this little sequence of six things really helps me, like with a ladder, to keep myself so that my joy is always coming through. So if you're not feeling joyful and you want to bring it back into your life, start with the J and end with the laughter. And what you'll see is you will have joy back in your life. So until the next time that we chat together, I want you to remember that you are amazing. You're a rock star. I know you are. So go out there and let all of your joy shine in ways that not even you can imagine yet. Take care. Be well. Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit SomeoneGetsMe.com. Again, thanks for listening.